The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey friends, and welcome back to Afternoons with Mike right here on the Shepherd Radio Network. It's every day that we get to talk with people in the know, people who are out there doing it for the Lord and the right reasons. And we a lot of believers are tuning in and reading newspapers, are seeing the signs even on billboards in Orlando. You'll see a sign up there for Epic TV. And a lot of people get a little confused as to how that is called. Is it Epic? Is it Epoch? And it depends on where you are. So we're going to call it today what they call it, Epic TV. And the working with NTD, who is one of the representatives for that, is my guest today. Tiffany Meyer is a producer, and she works very closely with the kind of keeping the pulse, the finger on the pulse of what's going on in China. And that, too, is something that a lot of people are really concerned about. She has basically put together this thing called the Hollywood Takeover film, and it's available now on EpicTV.com. Tiffany Meyer, welcome to my program.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be with you.
So, how did you get into this whole thing of TV producing?
It's been a journey. Let's see. When I joined the company, I was like a cameraman, video editor, moved up the ranks, became a writer, became a reporter, became a TV host, started my own show called China in Focus, covered China basically when the pandemic started because we have a lot of information that's hard to get from China, so we could really tell the true story of what's happening there. Show grew in popularity. It's still on every day. And then we also have a whole slew of other shows. Anyway, so that's kind of a crash course background on that. But I started doing these like special reports for China in Focus for a while, and then I was tasked with more shows, so I had less time for that. But then we had this partnership with Epic TV, as you're mentioning at the top of the show, and they're making all these documentaries. And so I was invited to speak with the CEO, and he was like, oh, you know, why don't you cover, since you cover China, why don't you cover the Chinese communist infiltration of our government? And it's like, no one would watch that. Like, it's an important topic, but you would literally be preaching to the choir. The people who show it would already know it. But Hollywood is, you know, something where a lot of it actually begins, because as Andrew Breitbart said, right, like, politics, culture is downstream of politics, or vice versa. The point is, if you control culture, you then get to politics. And the Chinese Communist Party understands that. They understand something called like soft power, where if you can get that influence, then you can change and reshape a society and its politics. And this ties into their unrestricted warfare, or winning without fighting. So they can destroy a country without even firing a bullet. So I'm like, you know, if we want to talk about the government infiltration, we have to start with where it actually began, which is Hollywood.
And there's a lot coming out of Hollywood that causes concerns on many different fronts, not just China. But this whole thing is, it's such the topic on news today. You'll hear it as a Chinese takeover, or even during the pandemic, which you mentioned as the genesis of this company. The China flu was what former President Trump called the whole outbreak of the pandemic, with the virus coming out and all. And so, you know, COVID makes its way and the whole world seems to change and all eyes are on China. And then all of the threats that we hear about China, and even the investigation that's going on right now with the president and his family with the dealings on China, that is all indications that there is an involvement in the Chinese government into the U.S. So when you say takeover, how big do you think that takeover really is?
I think it's massive. So if you think about it, since 2012, no major studio has come out with a film where China is the villain. And instead, you see China as the heroes. Like in Gravity, Sandra Bullock is saved because she goes to the Chinese space station, not the ISS with the Americans and Russians, right? And in the disaster film 2012, the world is saved because China made a giant ark, probably with slave labor. But, you know, no one talks about that part.
Yeah.
And then you have Iron Man 3, who's like this iconic hero, superhero, who gets saved by a Chinese doctor because that movie went into the China market. We talk about the whole background of all the things that were changed to get that film into China. And so you have all of that throughout the years because movies are expensive. And so Hollywood was like, oh, look at this. China wants to have a joint venture. Why not? But it's hard to get into China because there are censors and only a certain number of foreign films are allowed in every year. But if you can get in, right, people were like, oh my gosh, look at this massive market, 1.4 billion people, so much money to be made. And then what happened is we have Chris Fenden, he's a film executive. He actually helped change Looper and Iron Man 3 to get them into the China market. He talks about how eventually, looking back, he was like, oh my gosh, like we, as in America, Hollywood taught them, as in the Chinese, how to fish or make movies. And now they can do it better than us. China can produce its own homegrown films that are basically at the same level as a Hollywood film, but with all of their, you know, talking points baked in. So the domestic audience in China actually prefers their own propaganda films instead of these Western ones. And so now Hollywood is like, oh my gosh, I don't have a business there anymore because I'm not needed. But in this entire process, Hollywood and these institutions gave up everything that America stands for, like human rights, democracy. Mm-hmm. They didn't cross the three T's or Tiananmen, Tibet, and Taiwan when it comes to China and all these different things. And then what happens instead is you see this demoralization happening across America, right? Where now the army is struggling to recruit because no one wants to die and fight for this country, especially among the young people. You have a fascination among the youth for socialism, where they think that's a better system than America because they don't know the true toll of that because it's not revealed, right? Everything is covered up. No one talks about the manufactured famine under Mao Zedong, that conservative estimates are 44 million people died, right? No one talks about those things. So instead, you look over there like, oh my gosh, you have this like whitewashed version of communist China shown through the entertainment sectors and all these different sectors, to the point where now when you look across society, you have these weird things happening in education where people are being pit against each other, to the point that people who survived the Cultural Revolution are like, oh my gosh, what I'm seeing in America right now with the cancel culture, all of these different ideologies is what started the Cultural Revolution in China. And so it's gotten to that point where it's really concerning, where it's just so insidious in all sectors. And I think it just goes back to the soft power concept.
Is it possible that we could say it this way? Is it saying it too strongly that the Hollywood is pulling the Chinese wool over our eyes? Is that possible?
You could say that. I think there's different avenues of that, right? Some people, they're just like, oh, we have a fiduciary duty to our shareholders, our people. What does it matter that my one film does that, right? But when you step back and you look at this entire apparatus, if you will, you're like, oh my gosh, what would life be like now if we had seen a truthful representation of communism? All the Tibet films have been shelved, right? If you try to see Kundun, you can't find it anywhere. You can find it on a DVD somewhere online, maybe, but not streaming anywhere because it's about Tibet, kind of positively about the Dalai Lama, which is a very sensitive topic for the communist Chinese. Or 7 years in Tibet was banned. All of Sony proper was banned for doing that film. Again, because it showed the Dalai Lama slightly positively. All of these different things, right? So it's like, if we step back and look at it, it's like, wow, what would have life been like? So I think there's that one sector where people unknowingly waded into this. Maybe, you know, capitalism, got to make a dollar, doesn't realize all the other baggage. But then I think you do have a group of, if you want to call them, say, globalists, right? People talk about the World Economic Forum, where they have Xi Jinping, the current head of the Chinese Communist Party, speaking and giving these speeches about, like, this global view. And then people are like, you want China on your side, or communist China, because they have these surveillance apparatus, they have the social credit system, they see a world that's integrated with a few in power. So I think you also have that aspect, that more concerning.
Even today, there's a big debate going on in D.C. with TikTok, and some sort of ruling could come out today, may actually come out by the time this program airs. What involvement do you see the Chinese government directly in terms of their goals, you know, that you're mentioning here with, like you said, baked in values, baked in goals into everything they do? And yet we know that TikTok is primarily really governed a lot by that kind of a Chinese impact. What do you see happening with that?
Yeah, so with TikTok, really quickly, TikTok doesn't exist in China. They have their own version called Douyin. So that should tell you all you need to know. Why is this not allowed in China? Why is it put outsourced? Because it has a very different algorithm. So in China, what it promotes is like hardworking academics or like all these different things, and there's time limits. Young people can't be on it. That is the opposite of what's happening in America. Actually, just really quickly, some people talk about, you know, the French philosopher Descartes, who talks about, I think, therefore I am. You have this cyber expert, James Scott, who then says, but who does one become when the thought is hijacked? TikTok takes that a step further. It's not the thought being hijacked. TikTok plants thoughts into people. They have a very different algorithm. So right. Then what happens is, especially among the preteens, you have them going on for entertainment, all the jokes and the pranks they've heard of. And then you have very sad cases where they end up killing themselves because of the content that's pushed on them. Right. So it's become a weapon. So if we look at that, since the beginning of communism, they have this goal of hegemony or being the sole superpower. So what does that mean? Well, the U.S., there can't be two superpowers. So the U.S. and the free world has to go. And since the very beginning, it talks about there is no art for art's sake in China. So everything is serving the cause of the party. So there are no private companies. You talk about dual fusion. So everything has a civilian use, but also a military use. So like there's that fundamental difference in the concept of things. Mm-hmm. So then you see all these different things like TikTok, which has a Chinese parent company, ByteDance, which has ties to the Chinese Communist Party. So then when you start looking at it, you're like, oh my gosh, like this could actually be leveraged into a tool to the point that you now have people calling TikTok digital fentanyl because it is as deadly as actual fentanyl, which is also coming from China.
Yeah, wow. Now that's well said right there, because there is that addictive nature in these reels, and they've caught that, and I don't know why or how they were able to, well, I do know the why. I don't know how they were able to come in and command the audience, command the market the way they've done, but this is something that literally most young people today have it on their phone, and I've heard it stated that to have TikTok on your phone is to give the CCP basically a window into your life. The Communist Party, CCP party is on your phone, and they've got a window right into your very life and all the things that you do. Would you agree with that?
Yes, there's been multiple reports on that where TikTok will track your keystrokes and everything. And like, even if you just download the app and not open it, after a week, it has like 60 gigabytes. So you're like, what is it collecting in the background? You know, it's like if you don't even open it. And so it's gotten to that point where people in Congress are talking about that, where this is a tool for spying on people. And then some people are like, oh my gosh, like it doesn't matter. You know, I'm just on there for fun. What does it matter that they know my data and things? It's like, well, say you live next to a politician or maybe a dissident. They could then track that person using your data because they know your habits, and they'll start pushing things at you and convincing you to buy things. Or right now there's the joke that's maybe not a joke where it's like TikTok knew I was gay before I did. It's like, well, did it? Or that idea planted into you? You know,
yeah.
So it's like you've gotten to that point where there's reports saying 1/3 of young Americans get their news from TikTok. But if you look at the algorithm, there's a lot of reports on this where say you look up Israel, because right now there's the Israel-Hamas war. All the news about Israel on TikTok is going to be negative about it, whereas you see these protests that are pro-Palestine or pro-Hamas, which is a terrorist group. You have that. If you look at the U.S. on TikTok, it's also in a negative light. If you look at Taiwan, it's in a negative light. So that is the youth and the information they are getting, which is skewing a perception to the point that you do have these people who think they are informed, but then they don't know the history, right? Because they're getting their information from something like this. And then if you think about it, it goes back to the unrestricted warfare concept where you can destroy a country without firing a bullet, right? We're seeing so much unrest across this country right now. There's a lot of pushback against Christians or people of faith, or, you know, if you want a family, that's wrong. Like all these different things that are getting pushed, and that's destroying this country. And that's feeding straight into the hands of an adversary like communist China, which is like, oh, look at this. I don't even have to come in with any weapons. You know,
right,
it's like
right.
Quite terrible in that aspect.
You know, this whole thing of infiltration has been going on for a long time. It's not like that just happened with the pandemic and suddenly China's got an open door in here. But for Hollywood to be as influential as it is, it took decades to make that thing. And we don't even have an idea just how long this infiltration has been going on. But it's been a while, hasn't it?
Yes, yeah, so many point to about 2001 when the World Trade Organization opened up to China, really with the U.S. pushing for that. That was under the aspirational goals, right, that if we open up to this communist country, they'll become more democratic, more liberal, you know, because they'll have access to these free markets. They'll see how great it is. The issue is, though, communism is about the complete opposite of an ideology of capitalism in America. And so what we've seen throughout the years is instead, because communist China doesn't play by the same rules as everyone else, oh, they will say all the same promises and everything. But what we've found out instead is now the free markets are less free. Now all the manufacturing is over there. All the pharmaceuticals are over there. All of these things have been changing to the point where now people are like, oh my goodness, what happened? What happened to this country? You know, and it's like, as you mentioned, it's been decades in the making. It wasn't just overnight. I think the pandemic was when a lot of people woke up to it, but it has been going on for a really long time.
And the name of your project is Hollywood Takeover. And so that's an ominous title that you've given it right there. So there is an inference that this thing is coming in with a direct purpose, a direct goal in mind, and that they are doing it very strategically. And I think a lot of Americans are just asleep at the wheel. You mentioned young people. Our universities, the professors at these universities, they are seemingly serving the role as a puppet for this whole thing, aren't they?
Yeah, it's really weird when it comes to universities. I was just talking to someone the other day who was the daughter of a diplomat, so she had free access into China because of her visa. And she was studying at Harvard and way back when, and she was taking this East Asian studies course. And her professor flunked her because she was critical of the Chinese regime and what they had done to the Tibetans. And because if you want to get into China as a professor to visit, you can't ever say anything negative. And so it's gone to that point where, you know, we think of our institutions as the beacons of democracy. But then in reality, because of, say, money again and access, that's not what we're seeing. It's gotten to the point where you have like Joshua Wong. He was one of the pro-democracy activists in Hong Kong. He was at Yale and was trying to give a speech, and they put him in one of the small amphitheaters because the main one was funded by someone with Chinese money and ties to China.
Yeah.
And so it's gotten to all of that point where we talk about, say, the Confucius Institutes and all these things where it sounds great, it's cultural exchange, all that, but then these teachers that come in are handpicked by Beijing, so then you can't ever talk about sensitive topics. If you want to talk about, say, the Uyghurs in Xinjiang, it's always, oh, they're really happy, you know. It's like, you know, talk about the genocide that's happening there that the U.S. and other European countries have called is happening over there.
Tiffany Meyer is my guest. Can you hang on for another segment with me?
Oh, yes.
This would be great. Tiffany Meyer is with me. We're going to be talking about her project, Hollywood Takeover, and the dangers that are going on right now from China. When we return, this is Afternoons with Mike.
If you're a Christian business person and you want to meet people who want to do business with you, you need to join the Central Florida Christian Chamber of Commerce. Why? Because the mission of the Christian Chamber is to build kingdom, business, and community. And it all starts with the Christian principle of building relationships. To learn more about the Christian Chamber and all the different ways you can get engaged with hundreds of other Central Florida Christian Christian business people. Visit cfchristianchamber.com or call 407-258-3578.
The dangers coming out from China, that seems to be the talk of so many people. And a lot of the news, if you listen to any what would be conservative-based news sources, you'll hear the name China mentioned a number of times in a number of different ways. It's tied to this thing that we were talking about with TikTok. And that is actually really going through a great deal of scrutiny right now in Washington, with a decision about whether or not to ban it. And, you know, some companies have done that, haven't they?
Yes. Actually, what's funny is India banned TikTok, and India seems to be just fine. And it's banned on most government devices in the UK and more than half of the states in the US. But then some people were calling foul because the Biden administration just joined TikTok recently, even though they tried to ban it on federal government devices last year. But it is an election year, so there's a lot of power if you want to get that young vote, which many polls show helped Biden win in 2020.
Yeah,
so
it is
that aspect.
Wow. It is so incredible to realize, and I'm sure that a lot of our listeners that have heard anything about TikTok at all might be surprised to hear you say that it's not even allowed in China.
Yes, they have their own version.
That is something. And it wouldn't have the same kind of little things that they do, which are so, in so many ways, sensual. And I just really encourage parents to take a hard look at this and find out whether your kid has this downloaded on their phone or not. And it is a window, again, into the thought processes that would be different than what general American thought always has been. And my friends, it's not just benign. There's a goal in mind. And now, so let's go for a moment to your program, China in Focus, and then we're going to work our way over to what you've done and the depths of Hollywood takeover. What is your program? Tell us about that.
Yes, so China in Focus, we cover China news. Our specialty is because we do get information from inside China, so we're able to expose some of the propaganda points that they normally expose out and say that that's wrong. But then since the pandemic, it's kind of changed a bit. We cover everything. So like U.S.-China news, international China news, there's always that China element. But we also have, you know, it's election year. There's a lot of different politicians and perspectives on China, so we'll cover those as well in case you're looking at different candidates. But then, yeah, we cover all sorts of things. So sometimes it's good to see what's happening inside China, right? Because you have like Apple, who's always going over there and being like, this is the market to be in. But then if you look at China's current economic situation, it is not great. Yeah, there's a record high youth unemployment to the point that a lot of young people in China are doing a form of protest called the lying down movement because they just see no hope in for their future. So they're just refusing to do anything, just lying around. This isn't being lazy. They're just filled with despair.
It's a massive protest, yeah.
Yes, you have the real estate crisis, as people might have heard of Evergrande. That's about $300 billion in debt and wasn't able to pay that. You have another giant called Country Garden. A Hong Kong court ordered them to liquidate, but it's a bit tricky because China can say, oh, we don't listen to Hong Kong courts. So we'll see what actually happens with that. But the point is, real estate used to be one of the main drivers of China's GDP. And so that is basically collapsing. And the people inside China, they were promised homes. And instead, these projects aren't finished. They're begging their government officials who aren't doing anything for them. And then we had the 3 years of the lockdowns under the pandemic where some people, just out of despair, you know, would just jump off of their buildings because they weren't able to go out and buy food and all of these different things. And then China always likes to say, oh, you know, we have faith, we have Christians in China. But if you go to the party approved churches, you have Xi Jinping on the wall next to, you know, Jesus Christ or God, depending on the church. Meanwhile, then the Bible has been edited too. Meanwhile, the what are called house Christians or the ones who want to read the unedited Bible, they have to gather secretly underground. And if they're caught, they get thrown in jail or even persecuted. And so you have that whole aspect where you can talk about communism being atheist, but really, it's like you have to believe in the party because the party is never wrong. Yeah, you know, if something goes bad, they'll blame it on local officials or even the local governments, but it's never the party that is wrong. And so the Chinese Communist Party is actually its biggest fear is its own people, the Chinese people, realizing that it's illegitimate. And so it does everything it can to control it. And then what we've found is that that wasn't enough. Because, you know, everything is connected now. So now the Communist Party also wants to control the way the world sees it. Mm-hmm. And so that's where we can go into Hollywood if you want.
Yes, absolutely. And then that's the natural outtake then, or the outflow from all of your study on this. And then this particular program, Hollywood Takeover, it follows Chris Fenton, who is a former Hollywood executive. So tell us about that.
Yes. So Chris Fenton was a really interesting person because he basically has a character arc. So this is great for a film. So back in the day, he was with BMG and he was a film executive and he helped get Looper and Iron Man 3 into the China markets. So basically he was like a messenger type of role. He would have to go between the two sides and be like, okay, you know, if we want to get into the China market, what do we need to do to get past these censors? Meanwhile, Hollywood just wants to make their story, right? They're like, no, this is the way my story is. So let's take Looper, for example. This is a time travel film, and time travel is banned in China. It's a taboo subject because it's much harder to control not just the present, but also the past and the future. So it's a banned topic. But they were able to get this film in. Why? Because originally, in the original script, this utopia future that this character played by Gordon Levitt goes to is France. That's where he wants to go. But it was changed. So there's a line in there where his future self, played by Jeff Daniels, comes back and tells him, he's like, I'm from the future. You want to go to China. And they made China the mecca of the world. And it was like so, it was done so well in the film that, you know, even the communist Chinese censors were clapping when they showed it to them. And it did really well in China. Marvel took notice of that and was like, hey, you know, we've really been struggling to get our films into China. Looper had what, like a $30 million budget? What can you do with something that has a $200 million budget called Iron Man 3?
Wow.
So Chris Fenton and his team, you know, Marvel's really secretive. So he recounts in our film how he was locked in like a little room and had 90 minutes to read the entire Marvel script and then try and figure out places they could insert some China elements. And so then there's this new character added in called Dr. Wu, because China likes to be seen as the world innovators. That's normally stolen on technology from us. But, you know, they like to be seen as the world innovators. So this doctor is in there to save the life of Tony Stark. So think about what kind of messaging that's coming across, right? This is a superhero. So who has better technology than a superhero? You're like, wow, this country must be so developed. It must be so advanced. Mm-hmm. And with that success, many studios are like, oh my gosh, okay, it doesn't really matter if I don't make a profit in America. As long as I can get into that China market, I'm going to make a profit because that market is just so big. And so it got to the point where it wasn't the Chinese communist censors coming over and being like, you need to change this. It got to the point where studios were doing it themselves in the hopes of just maybe getting into that market. Mm-hmm. And so we saw with Top Gun, actually, the international trailer in 2019, this is like the most patriotic movie you could ever think of, right? Top Gun. But it had changed these two patches on Tom Cruise's iconic flight jacket that had shown the Taiwanese and Japanese flags. They became random patches in the trailer. And it led to international backlash because these are sensitive topics in China, you know. And then actually what was curious is this Chinese tech giant called Tencent was actually funding part of the film Top Gun Maverick because it's such an expensive film to make. So they were like, we're going to have to get some Chinese funding and Chinese profits to make this possible. But because there was this backlash, right? And then the pandemic happened, so no studios could release anything. So there was time to change things. So by the time Top Gun Maverick came out, Tencent had backed down, wasn't funding it anymore, and the patches were put back in.
Wow.
And it did super well, right? It grossed over $1 billion without ever entering the China market. Because what happened is Americans saw it and they're like, oh my gosh, I remember what it is to be an American, why I am proud to be an American. And they kept going to the movies. They kept bringing other friends, other family. I was talking to someone yesterday who like went and saw it five times, just like her and her friends alone, right? So it's like Americans started voting with their dollars and were like, yes, this is something we want to see, not the ones that have been changed to please a different governing body, like a totalitarian regime, like the communists. But this is the kind of story we want to see. And so you're seeing that change where I think if we go to the name Hollywood Takeover in the beginning, yes, it's this very insidious infiltration by the Chinese communists. But by the end, you're seeing a turn where independent studios are starting to get seen on the world stage and starting to make a dent, where the people who are telling the stories they want to are succeeding. And with, say, Top Gun and also Spider-Man No Way Home, the last fight scene is like 30 minutes, has the Empire State Building in it. China asked Sony to remove the Empire State Building because it looked a little too patriotic for them. Sony refused. And that film also passed over $1 billion. That was the highest grossing film since 2019 on that. And it was like, now it pays to do the right thing is what it seems to be.
Yeah. And that's one nice side effect. I just did a quick Google search on Tom Cruise China. And boy, you talk about what you just said. I was surprised. It just popped up right over the place. The very first one is a BBC article that says Top Gun Maverick betrays Hollywood's weakness in China. And that's kind of insightful. Again, I think a lot of us, I don't know anyone that would have caught that thing about the patches on his jacket.
Yeah, it was basically because the original Top Gun from the 80s, if you were on tour in the Air Force, a lot of things happen in the Indo-Pacific, you would naturally get those flags on your jacket. So for many people, that was just ingrained. You're like, duh, you have this jacket, you have those patches.
Right.
And so when the trailer came out, Eric Schwartzel, he has a book called Red Carpet that also talks about China's infiltration into Hollywood and all of these different things. He's with the Wall Street Journal. He started talking about that and making it, and I think Jack Tapper with CNN interviewed him, and then it made it into all these headlines, and then a Hong Kong human rights advocacy group came out and criticized it because even then, right, there was all these tensions between communist China and Hong Kong because Hong Kong had went back under China's rule, but with the promise of one country, two systems, because it used to be under British control. And it was promised that that would stay that way for 50 years. But then we saw with this national security law passed that that promise was broken, not even a few years after getting handed back. So you have all of those aspects. And so it created this international outrage where you're like, oh my gosh, why is this American hero doing this? And then the funny thing or not funny thing is there was no way Top Gun was ever entering the China market. It's way too patriotic. You know, it's like the censors would not have let that in. But just to have something like that happen where you're like, wait, why are studios self-censoring? Like, who are you making films for, right? Because back in the day, in the very beginning of this joint partnership between the two, Chris Fenton talks about how, oh, you know, if you could get a movie into both the U.S. and China to like it, the whole world was your oyster. Mm-hmm. But then it switched. It became like, if you get China to like it, the world is your oyster. And so it started changing where it's like, well, what are we actually taking away? What is, you know, if we go back to the culture downstream of politics, I always get that wrong. But anyways, we go back to culture impacting politics, right? Like, what are we seeing now? And then I guess now we see absolute chaos unfolding where now you talk about the record number of Chinese nationals who are single military aged men crossing across the border. And national security experts will point out that, wait, China has exit bans. So how did they ever get out of China? Why are they here? Mm-hmm. Which is raising all sorts of concerns.
My goodness, this is something because I think growing up, I would have been much more aware of the military might of China. And the fact that, as you mentioned earlier, they were known as Communist China. And in my youth, that would be just a really dirty word. It's so ironic to me to find out that today we are kind of soft on that word And it's, you know, not uncommon for people to talk about socialism, which is not that disassociated with communists as being what the goal is and what people will identify by who are our government leaders. So the big threat that China is bringing, it's not just military now. It's what in one of your reviews on this, you call it the soft role, the soft issues that China is pushing right now, the soft power. So tell about that in our time remaining, if you will.
Yes, so this goes back to China has this term called unrestricted warfare. So here in the West, we think of war as you're either at war militarily or it's peace, on
right.
or off. That's not how communist China sees it. They do everything short of that. So, you know, lawfare, drug warfare, media warfare, information warfare. And that's where the term soft power comes in, where it's like, okay, if you can influence the way people perceive the world, you have control over them. So we talk in the film about Jiang Zemin, one of the most horrific human rights abusers in China, one of the chairmen. He saw Titanic and found it so emotional and the power of that. And he knew the power of that. So he made all of his most powerful men, the Politburo, watch that film, watch Titanic.
Mm-hmm.
And so they understand that if you can control people's emotions, you have a lot more power than if you're just firing guns at them, right? Because if you believe in your country, you're going to fight back. If you don't believe in your country, you're just going to sit there and let it be taken over, right? Because what hope is there left?
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what they figured out. And that's what soft power is. And I don't think many people talk about it because it seems kind of dumb. But it's like, that's actually where the real power is. And then you get to the politics and the military and all of the other things.
Well, we're seeing that in the lives of our college students in America today, because a lot of them are going with a worldview that would be more American and more traditionally American in base, and they get out of college and they've got an entirely different worldview than they went there with. And that is that soft power that you're talking about. It's very under the cover for a lot of people, but it's there. And that's why I think your title, Hollywood Takeover, is so important. Tiffany Meyer, thank you for being with me today. How can people find out more about your program or about Hollywood Takeover?
Yes, so it's been streaming on Epic TV since March 8th, but if Epic TV is a little hard to navigate, so if you just go to HollywoodTakeover.com, you can watch the first 10 minutes free, find out more information about it, watch the trailer, read some statements and testimonials on it, and that's probably the easiest place to go, just HollywoodTakeover.com.
All right. Tiffany Meyer, thanks for being with me today.
Thank you. It's been an absolute honor.
And we'll be back in a moment. This is Afternoons with Mike.
Join host Mike Gilland for The Shepherd at Work every Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m. You will be introduced to a marketplace leader that will help you learn to walk out your faith wherever you live and work. The Shepherd at Work is sponsored by the Central Florida Christian Chamber, building kingdom, business, and community throughout our area. That's The Shepherd at Work, this Saturday morning at 10:05 a.m.
So great to have a return guest for this segment. I've got on the line with me Chad Davidson. Chad is a former atheist, the host of the Good Fight radio show, and a popular weekly podcast as well called The 5:11 News. I hope I pronounced it right with the way that is written out. He's a producer on Good Fight's new documentary series, Marvel and DC's War on God. Chad, it is great to have you back.
Yeah, thank you so much. And you did pronounce it right.
Oh, that's good. You know, you see a colon, and yet sometimes I'm not sure I did it right. So that's good to know. Man, what's going on with you? It's not like anything exciting or challenging is happening in the world today, right?
Yeah, no, it's really funny with Good Fight Ministries. I actually came alongside and started working at Good Fight part-time and then full-time because of a video that was made back in 2012 regarding the Super Bowl halftime performance of Beyonce.
Oh my
and
goodness.
Basically what happened was our site, goodfight.org, it crashed because so many people were going to our site trying to figure out who made this video. after the performance was exposed for a lot of the wicked things that were going on. And a lot of people were really surprised, you know, Beyonce, you know, calling spirits down to come inside of her before she becomes Sasha Fierce and so forth. A lot of people were really surprised. And so now, being that it is we just had the Super Bowl again, our channel is, once again, it always blows up every year around the Super Bowl because we always do some sort of expose on it. And we recently did again with this last performance with Usher.
Yeah, and you know, that one was so, to me, so I guess I would say the word troubling as well. It's just a different kind of entertainment than what an old school musician like myself wants to see. I mean, I go back, I think of one of the Super Bowl performers at halftime that I loved was Tom Petty. And, you know, we didn't have any of the demonic inclusion, at least that I perceived, that these artists these days are bringing in. But there's a lot of weird stuff that's going on in the name of entertainment in these Super Bowl halftime shows. Or in this year, with what was going on in Taylor Swift's box, there were some things there that was also concerning, right?
Absolutely, yeah. And it's really interesting when you actually look at the history of the halftime show, because it was originally a marching band. It would be marching bands every single year. And then it was Michael Jackson who put together an ensemble of people to sing We Are the World. And then after that, I think Janet Jackson, yeah. I mean, she really did a number there, having Justin Timberlake rip her shirt off, and exposing herself to the audience. And, you know, Madonna, the year before Beyonce, came out with an entire Egyptian-themed sort of performance with the provocateur that she is herself. And then with Beyonce and so forth. And, you know, it's just been horrific. I mean, some of the displays they've had on there. And then, as you mentioned, it wasn't just, you know, Usher singing songs, ripping his shirt off.
Yeah,
obviously singing songs provocatively about cheating on people, literally about adultery, and then, sensually hugging on someone else's wife there with Alicia Keys. But like you said, even up in the box there, it was very interesting with Taylor Swift, obviously getting a lot of the play there in the fact that she's dating Travis Kelce, the tight end for the Chiefs, who ended up winning the Super Bowl. But they showed her chugging some alcohol up there in her suite.
Mm-hmm.
And it was very interesting because right as she was doing that, Ice Spice, who's another artist who is quite popular today, and she was up there and she had been gifted this necklace by Playboi Carti, another artist who likes to have a lot of upside down crosses and satanic imagery. And she was given that necklace to wear, which was an upside down cross in mockery of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That's right.
And when they panned up to Taylor Swift chugging this alcoholic drink, there was Ice Spice putting devil horns, and it looked like she was putting some sort of hex on the field or something. It was very, very strange. And to time that alongside of this display that Taylor was obviously doing for attention, It was quite interesting, I'd say, to say the least.
Yeah, very troubling. And my wife and I watched the game as well and saw all of this stuff. And for us, it's so incredibly troubling because I know that a lot of people in this world today, they don't have their discernment eyes on. They're not really watching to see what is the damage. And, you know, a lot of this stuff will go right over the head of a lot of parents. But the kids who are more in touch with, let's say, Ice Spice, they know what's going on, and it's not lost on them. And that's really the big concern, isn't it?
That's absolutely right. It is not lost on them whatsoever. And when you have these artists, and it's really interesting because the last couple of years, some of the things they've done with the halftime performances is they've paid a lot of homage to older artists and so forth. When they were out here by our neck of the woods in Los Angeles, they had basically a rapper's delight, you know, with the artists of old, whether it was, you know, Dr. Dre and then obviously having Eminem and Snoop Dogg and all of them. And then now you have a performance with Usher, which is once again you know, a lot of his old hits were big when I was in junior high and high school. And then it's not just them. They're pointing towards the artists that are the biggest ones today, with so much of the showing of Taylor Swift, the showing of Lana Del Rey, who also is a professing witch, the showing of Ice Spice, who's just a provocateur. I mean, she's just basically all of her music. I've seen reviews on it. It's just mediocre, with most of her dancing and so forth to be basically pornography. I mean, is there no other way to kind of express it? And you just have this being pushed on the children, and they're watching this all the time. It's played on their phones all the time. It's in their AirPods that some kids literally, I mean, even men are growing their hair out long so they could be in class with their AirPods in, covering up their ears, just listening to constant noise. And what the Bible describes is the song of fools. And it is heartbreaking. And they're meditating on these things that God hates and Jesus ultimately died for.
And, you know, this is the world in which we live. And so we have one of two, I believe, responses that we can all live out in front of and in the face of this kind of barrage that happens in a football game, for crying out loud. One is we can act like there's no problem at all, or we can say, this isn't right, and I'm going to get active in learning more about what I need to be doing to make disciples of my own children and with my friends. We need to be a part of what you call the good fight. And it really is a fight. There's no doubt about it. We're being waged war on by the enemy. So it's not like we're trying to pick the fight. It's being picked for us. But we've got to be ready for this stuff and not act like it's not happening.
Absolutely. I think that's the biggest thing for us to recognize. And, you know, you mentioned already, and I think people don't understand, you know, Satan wants to have his disciples as well. He wants to have people doing his bidding. And the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, that the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan, that he works through the sons of disobedience. And it's our job as believers to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, no matter what the speculation or every lofty thought that comes against the knowledge of God. And we need to do that and recognize what Psalm 1 tells us. In Psalm chapter 1, there are two different people that it talks about. There is the person who meditates on God's word day and night, and he is like the tree planted against the water that bears fruit in his season, and all that he does prospers. But there is another person in Psalm 1 who does not delight in the law of the Lord. They do not delight in God's word. And it says that they sit in the seat of scoffers. And guess what? That's exactly what so many people are doing. And sadly enough, it has happened over and over again in the church, that people have just allowed this, that it's normative, that, you know, I just got to drag my kid out of bed to get them to come to church. But, you know, we'd hate to do that, but I make them go to school for 8 hours. I make them do all their homework for another three at home. I make them do all these things, and they have their time on their phone to look at whatever TikTok or whatever's going on. And you're like, what are you doing? They're spending all of their time being raised by Caesar, and people are getting surprised when their children come back as Romans. And we cannot be willfully ignorant. And as you mentioned, we need to be making disciples in the home. It is so important, because Satan wants to make them his disciples.
You know, that could not have been more well said. That just hit me right between the eyes. We have them listening to Caesar all day long, and then we're surprised that our kids denounce their faith, and you find out they've turned into a Roman. That's a powerful metaphor, my friend.
Yeah, amen. And it breaks my heart. And I recently, this last year, went back into coaching at the high school level. I was coaching my children in wrestling for a few years, and then went back to the high school and have been able to minister. And it's a secular high school, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to share the gospel with these kids. And they're very open with me, the barrage of information. And that's what I call it. It is. It's a barrage completely before them. Yeah. 24/7, contrary to the word of God. And it's like, man, we really got to reach these kids.
And you've mentioned before, there's much info on your website about the Marvel world. They put out such interesting material, but sadly, it is laced with a lot of things that parents should know about and must know about to protect their kids from and to have the discussions. I know that in this day and age, a lot of the kids are going to say, well, you know, I can't help it. I'm being exposed to stuff at school, and they are. But there has never been a time, and I'm sure you would agree with this, there's never been a time that people need to be more proactive with preparing their kids for what is going to happen when they are at school or when they are with their friends. Than today. I mean, this is one of the most critical time frames in our lifetime for that very thing.
I couldn't agree more. I think it is so important. And, you know, it's been burdened on my heart for the last couple of years just on discipleship and exactly what you're talking about. And I praise God today, actually. It's so funny. I'm on this call today. Today, my book releases called Wrestling with Discipleship, where I go through a number of different ways that you can disciple people, that you can disciple people in your church, that you can make disciples by sharing the gospel. And also all of this stuff that we're talking about, making sure you're in a proper stance and you're building your foundation on Jesus Christ and following and putting to practice his words. And it'll keep you from the enemy. It'll keep you from these evil ways, and it will help you to disciple your children, your neighbor, and the people in your church.
Boy, that is well said, Chad. It's really great to have you on. And that book, you said it drops today, so that really is cool. And that book is called Wrestling with Discipleship, and the author is Chad Davidson. And I'm sure that's available on your website. Is it available at other places as well?
Yes, it's available on Amazon. It's also available on goodfight.org, or you can simply go to wrestlingwithdiscipleship.com.
Chad, it's always great to have you on the program. Chad Davidson and friends, thank you for joining us today. We'll see you next time on Afternoons with Mike.